What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime time on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
That's going to make the huge difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Nice little Friday out there. It's Isaac and Souk. Yeah, we're partying. It's Football Friday.
Oh, yeah. I got BYU SMU right now.
Yeah, it's starting here at 4, right?
Yeah.
Where's that game at?
That's in Ford Field at SMU.
The showdown of the Methodists and the Mormons.
There's our defensive coordinator that died last week. He had a massive coronary and went down. But he's back.
He's in the booth.
He's in the booth.
God. Yeah, you can't take out the Mormons that easily.
No. It's kind of scary, though. My man went down with, open heart surgery, and now, a couple weeks later, I guess they got him back, and oh.
That dude's like Joe Pa, though. As soon as he steps off the field, that's when he will croak. But if he stays on it, he will live, right?
It's just crazy to think that. That's the football mentality. It's like, hey, dude, you almost died. And he's like, it's been a couple weeks. I'm back out there.
Can I just state on the record here that BYU and SMU, they're of the same ilk in a sense that when they're playing, they're not overly interesting, but they're both mildly interesting.
Okay, I'll take that. I guess.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like BYU.
Both church schools, both at one point were really good. Now we're both okay.
I find BYU mildly interesting. Anytime they're on, it's like, BYU, let's check them out.
Yeah.
And then SMU kind of has a little bit of that, especially now that they're in the ACC.
SMU to me is fascinating because, they're the only school to get the death penalty. They haven't been relevant in, 30 years. And then a bunch of billionaires were just like, we can make them good again. The best thing that's happened in all this realignment stuff is the SMU booster pool, which I guess is one of the richest in the country, got together, went to the ACC and said, bring us in. We don't need any money. And everyone was like, what? They're like, yeah, you don't have to pay us anything for years. We don't care. And someone went to him and goes, dude, that's $30 million a year that you're covering. And the guy went, the main billionaire went, okay, so that's a 6 or 7 year TV deal. And they're like, yeah, $30 million a year. And they're like, yeah, so I got to cover $200 million and some change. And they're like, yeah. And he goes, that's not a problem. That's fascinating. I can't get enough of it. I want it to work. Not against BYU, but I'm rooting for SMU to just be like, yeah, we can.
What?
So if Wake Forest is playing Virginia,
yeah.
You're not going to get me to watch it.
No.
I don't even care if they're ranked.
No.
Those are boring programs. I don't care. Not interesting.
I'm with you.
But if SMU and BYU are playing someone relatively good or whatever, it's mildly interesting.
Okay.
Again, not overly interesting.
Yes.
Mildly.
I'm with you. Well, and I get why SMU is, and I think BYU is too, because of all of the, I don't know, what would you call them?
They're kind of like Oklahoma State.
They're not a traditional powerhouse, but they're a known commodity, right? I think they're in a weird little unique space, because Boise State was the first BCS buster, but they came from the little ends of the code. BYU's been around forever. Won a national title in 84, for God's sakes. We got a Heisman Trophy. So we occupy this weird little space. Then you got the Mormon thing and the no drinking and the soaking and all that. So I think some of that lends some interest.
I don't think any of the Mormon stuff matters to me, but maybe it's just that they take their program very seriously and they're always pretty good.
Sure.
And they're always just kind of relevant, you know? Yeah. Whereas some of those schools in the ACC,
go away.
Big 12, why are we even playing?
What is kind of crazy that they can be competitive when they have to recruit kids, me being one of them, again, at 18, you make poor decisions. And they tell you, yeah, you can come here, but you can't drink and you don't get to have sex unless you get married. And yet, they put together a pretty competitive team. Ah, that's kind of impressive.
A lot of kids out there.
And, like, you know, some of those rules, like, you know, some people skate them, but there are rules. And if they catch you, they will boot you. And you got to admit, our uni game, it's solid. I mean, not when I was like there. But they
look good.
They put together a good look week in and week
out.
Whoa,
there's a black guy.
Yeah, we got a couple of those now.
Man, things are looking up.
Normally, we just have the white guys and the Polynesians. But, you know, hey, we're diversifying. Look,
could you mix in a black?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so we have courage here.
We do.
You guys know that. We have show courage.
Yeah.
We have the courage to begin speculating on a couple of things.
I love wild speculations.
Well, I don't even know if it's wild. Who is going to be the next coach at Clemson?
Dabo's already out.
Hell yeah. Dude, he's out of there. If it's not this year, it's next year. Come on. We can all see it.
I mean, that's actually an attractive job if he is ousted.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it's a great job.
Although we don't know what... you know, the whole... Supposedly, they think in the next year, Clemson and Florida State are going to reach a settlement, so... Like, where does Clemson end up? That'll be interesting. Do they go to the Big 12? Is it an SEC thing? Do they end up in the Big 10? So, that would be...
Big 10, huh?
Well, I mean, supposedly, like, the... You know, it was this idea that, like, everyone was clamoring for them. Bless America. BYU fumbled.
But they're not. Like, I thought it was, like...
The Big 12. Big 12 may be the landing spot. That supposedly the Big 12, the Big 10 looks at him and goes, academically.
Well, the SEC doesn't want him.
Yeah, and the SEC doesn't want to add another kind of juggernaut. And plus, everyone there already kind of hates both Florida State and Clemson. So supposedly, like, there was this, like, this giant bidding thing that people thought was going to happen between the two. But there's some people that are like, dude, they may leave this thing and end up in the Big 12. So I think some of that matters. But yes, in theory, you would think. That Clemson would, if Dabo isn't the guy there, if they end up pushing him out, that Clemson would be a marquee job. Under Dabo, they're a top 10 recruiter. They've won national championships. They have big money, recruiting hotbed. You would think that that would be a primo job.
Well, Brent Venables is now at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and he was the...
He was the defensive coordinator there for the championships. I don't know if he would leave. Garrett Riley... is a name that's popped up a lot because he's Lincoln Riley's brother, and he is the OC there now. What about Coach Prime?
See, he's a... No. I think he flames out in fantastic fashion. I don't buy it.
Well, what if he doesn't flame out? And then... And yeah. I'm not saying he's like a hot item, but let's just say they just go pull him from Colorado. They want the antithesis of Dabo.
Then
could you get the antithesis of Dabo?
Yeah.
In any better form than Prime? He's the exact opposite.
Yeah. If you're not talking like coordinators, because that's always tough, because you never, like, if Will Stein, if Oregon goes, you know, wins 12 games, Will Stein's the head coach somewhere next year. If Jed Fish at Washington has a couple good years, chances are Jed Fish bolts.
Well, that's another question. Let's speculate on who's the next coach at Florida.
Jed Fish.
See, I don't think so.
It's who they're going to call.
I think they're going to go bigger.
I don't know if Florida can get bigger, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, that program, you know.
Yeah, at one point, but I mean,
I think it's going to depend on who their AD is, because I think they're getting restless down there about this AD.
Yeah.
He's the one that hired Dan Mullen, and then he brought in Billy Napier.
Yep.
So maybe that guy gets turfed, and then it just depends on who the new AD has relationships with. But there's a lot of Artie Scuddy about Lane Kiffin jumping over to Florida.
That would be a great hire. Yes, but if you look since Steve Spurrier, who, by the way, when Steve took over, Florida wasn't like the end all to be all, but Steve had it cooking there for a long time. But like everyone thinks of Florida as this phenomenal job. I think it's like Florida State. I think it's like Miami. I think it's dependent on who you go get, because after Spurrier, Ron Zook comes in, and we know how that went. And then Charlie Strong. And then they went and found this guy out of Bowling Green by the way of Utah. And yeah, no one was like, what, Utah? Yeah, it turned out Urban Meyer was pretty good. And then after Urban Meyer, Will Muschamp, DJ Durkin, Jim McElwain, Randy Shannon, Dan Mullen, Greg Knox, Billy Napier.
Although, can I just stop you there with your... Dan Mullen wasn't bad. He just was a victim of circumstances, right? Like, or I mean, a victim of expectations.
Yes.
What was his record? He won 10 games, didn't he?
49-34.
Oh, okay. Not as good as I thought.
No. This is kind of my thing about Florida. Like, Florida hasn't hired a marquee coach since
Urban.
Yes. Well, but Urban wasn't.
Oh, you're saying, yeah.
He wasn't. Urban Meyer was at Bowling Green for like 2 or 3 years, went to Utah for 2 or 3 years, went undefeated. That was the year that Alex Smith and them, they went undefeated, played, I think they played Pitt, in the Pitt of all people, in the Fiesta Bowl. Urban left before the Fiesta Bowl, took that job. And I remember Florida fans being pissy, being like, what? We got this jackass from Utah? Yeah, Urban Meyer, all he does is go there and win a couple national titles.
You know, the highest profile guy might be Mullen.
Yes.
Because Mullen did a good job at Mississippi State.
Yes. And that was viewed as and this is one of those, look at what he, but this happens all the time. You got to be careful. It's the old, look at what he did with limited resources at Mississippi State. So imagine what he could do at Florida. Well, it turns out he didn't do much at Florida.
He went 10-3, 11-2.
Yep.
Then 8-4, 5-6 fired.
Yeah. And that's how long it takes. So like you said, that is not a, that's not,
if they had held on to him, he'd be doing fine.
I would think so. But unfortunately, you know, when you trend down for 2 years in a row, that's how sad it is at Florida. So
they panic.
Yeah. Look, if Jed Fish wants that job, Jed Fish going to get that job. And if you're a Washington fan, you are sweating bullets because Napier's ass is fired.
All right. Who's the next Washington coach? Courage.
But it's just like this. It's like this never ending.
No, but seriously, cycle. Who's the next Washington coach? Because we know Fish is leaving. Fish never stays anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the hope is that you keep him. I don't know. I mean, who'd they go after? They went after Fish. They went after Leipold. At Kansas.
Yeah.
And that's crazy is that he turned him down.
Yeah.
He stayed at Kansas.
Well, they're opening up the pocketbook for Leipold there.
Yeah.
They're giving him what he wants.
Yeah,
he's one of those guys that he doesn't need to bounce. He just needs, I think Dan Lanning's the same way. It's like, these are guys that are wired like, hey, look, man, I don't need to be king.
Yeah.
But give me what I need to succeed.
Yeah.
And Leipold is one of those guys because I think the deal with him was he went back to Kansas and said, here's what Washington's offering me in the NIL department. You need to match this.
Yeah.
And they did.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're Washington and I always love if you can get the next up and coming guy and you can hurt a rival program, if Fish leaves this year and Oregon ends up doing what some people think they will, just go hire Will Stein, do what Arizona State did and be like, dude, I'll take that guy. You know, I just think that more and more these big jobs are going to be filled by young, energetic, offensive minded coaches and not
Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah, not Jimbo Fisher and not the Dan Mullen, not the, hey, that guy did a nice, solid job for a long time, and so I'm gonna pluck him. I think this is becoming more and more of someone with some sizzle, someone that's young, someone that's going to beat the recruiting trail, someone that understands these kids, and someone that has a really bright offensive mind.
Did you know that Jimbo Fisher is doing a radio show now?
I did not.
That's his new thing.
I'm not surprised.
On XM.
Didn't Urban do a show for like a year and then went right back to coaching? It's just like what these guys do.
Yeah, he's on with two of his former players, EJ Emanuel and Jacob Hester.
Oh, I remember those guys.
Some show called Off Campus.
Yeah. And I was trying to think of the upgraded coach, like not the young. And Lane is the best one. If you were going to open up the pocketbook, And if you were Florida or someone like that and throw a bunch of money at someone, then the answer is Lane. Because you're not getting Sark out of Texas. You're not getting DeBoer out of Alabama, right? You're not getting those guys. So if you're Florida, if you're Clemson, you're someone like that, and you want someone that's more established, and you don't want to run the risk of the up-and-coming, the Dan Lannings of the world, you throw a bunch of money at Lane Kiffin. You just do. Because you're like, look around. Do you want to throw a bunch of money at like James Franklin? And by the way, that's going to have to be a bunch of money because he gets paid a ton at Penn State. It's like a lot of these coaches, like some of the shine has come off. You know they're solid, but is it worth paying a guy his buyout and then $12 million a year to have James Franklin come and head your program. Like he hasn't won anything at Penn State. He's been good. And so you're like, well, if he didn't win at Penn State, why is he coming to win at Clemson? Why is he coming to win at Florida? So I think it's the trend will be more of the coordinators.
You know who might be a guy, and I hate to say this because I hate them, but you know who might be a guy for Florida is that Drinkwitz guy at Missouri.
Yes.
He's pretty good, yeah. Dude.
Could you get him?
I hope yeah, so. I think he could.
Yes.
But
he's been great.
Really good.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's a man that can coach.
Yes. And that's a program that you think that, you know, that you could pull him. Missouri is like, I mean, I hate to say like, I think Washington's a much better program than Missouri, but, you know, and even Oregon for the last couple of years. I mean, they got a couple of their coaches yanked. There's just not a lot of jobs in America that you feel really, really secure about. You're like, why would he leave there? And Missouri ain't one of them. For the right amount of money, you'll leave. You'll leave Missouri. But also realize that when you take that job at Florida, like you said, you're 1 to 2 bad years away from getting your walking papers.
Yeah, Drinkwitz is only 41 years old.
There you go.
He's a young guy.
If you're Florida, that may be the number that you ring up. And I feel bad for Billy Napier because he's just sitting on his ass right now just waiting to get canned. He's waiting for one more bad performance.
More courage here, Jason. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to feel when our team's gear is worn by a school shooter?
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Yeah. You don't want that.
You don't?
No.
You definitely don't.
It's like if you saw a dictator, like if you know. Well, you imagine if there
in
was
a Royals hat?
Well, yeah, you imagine like back in the day if there was a photo in like the 1940s of like Hitler, but he's wearing like a Harvard. Because like back then, like Harvard was a big deal.
He's wearing a Harvard hat?
Yeah, he's wearing like a Harvard sweater, like posing with a German Shepherd. You're like, oh my God.
Imagine if like Fidel Castro were a Yankees fan.
Yeah,
it'd just be weird.
Yeah, you don't want that.
See, that would fit.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess, but still not.
Like Kim Jong-un all of a sudden is like a big Kansas Jayhawk fan. Like he loves Kansas basketball.
He's a Bulls fan. We know
that.
Yeah,
he's a Bulls fan. Yeah. That's just weird. You don't want that.
All right, that's next on The Fan. Tell you what, man.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're rocking you on a Friday, I can tell you that.
Caitlin Clark is white.
Big show.
Rocking you on a Friday? Why did I say that?
Well, Schultzy, you're a big Mariner guy. I saw this. So we had another unfortunate school shooting in Georgia.
Terrible news.
The other day. And the kid, so they post a picture of the kid. He's a 14-year-old kid who will probably never see the light of day now, and neither will his dad because he gave him an AR for his birthday or something. But they post a picture of the kid, and he's wearing a Georgia Bulldogs shirt.
Yeah. Well, hey, go
and
Dogs.
And so I thought, if I'm a Georgia fan, how do I feel about that? So what if he's wearing a Mariners shirt, Schultzy? How do you feel?
I mean, I don't want to see that, and I hope that they don't show that picture. If I'm, you know, the last time I saw somebody publicly wearing Mariners gear was like at the World Series of Poker playing in the game. So seeing a shooter wearing my team's gear, hell no.
Guys, gotta support the team.
I kind of think
gotta support the team.
I'm going to throw out something a little controversial.
Oh boy. Uh-oh. This is about to get uncomfortable.
No.
I even missed the first part.
The shooter who was he was in a Georgia T-shirt.
Yes,
one of the photos that they always release a photo that they have of.
And a shocker, by the way, it looks exactly the way every other one of them looks like.
Here's what I'm going to throw out there: perhaps if it's this serious and they have killed people,
yeah.
How about scrub the team?
Yeah, like they used to do that in the rap videos, like in the 90s. Like the guy would have an Adidas shirt, but then they would blur it out.
Because it's just not good pub, man.
Hey, any pub's good pub, right?
No, it isn't. I don't know. I think they should just like be aware, like just scrub that out.
Like Jared from Subway's wearing.
Well, like who's supposed to scrub that out? The company or like the editors at the news station?
The editors at the
Why would they care about Nike or Adidas?
The editor's the editor's a big Alabama fan. He's like, he's going to put this Georgia logo right there in front.
They start to put all their rivals' logos on all the
just looks like
perps.
A just like a NASCAR jersey. God, there's just like all the other SEC teams.
All these guys are wearing Georgia shirts. What the hell?
And that's on the recruiting trail. Hey, is this what you want to be affiliated with? Did you hear though what the dad did?
Yeah, I just talked about it.
Oh,
thanks for being here.
Well, I was sorry. I got caught up with the sales tab. But you see, after the FBI interviewed him,
yeah, oh yeah.
So yeah, the
whole thing.
Yeah, I just the FBI comes to your house and is like, "Hey, your son is threatening to shoot up a school," and your response to that is, "Happy birthday, son! Here's an AR-15." Oh my God!
It's like having Ted Bundy as one of your most famous alumni. You
look,
know?
The Ted Bundy was a Husky signs. I know that that's an oldie, but it's a goodie.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
They should never let that go.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it's low-hanging fruit, but you hold on to that one.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just thought of that and...
Yeah, someone asked, what's the shooting to winning ratio, though?
Oh, dear. Did we need to go there?
Oh, wow. Come on!
Dark. Vancouver 4 text line getting spicy right now.
Yeah, and by the way, at the open of the show, we were talking about Buck catching strays when he's not here. That guy's still bitching about Buck on the text line. It's unbelievable.
The same guy?
Same guy. Can't stand them.
Can we, because we can see the number, can we check and make sure that that's not Schultzy, who's doing like a false flag operation?
You guys want to check my texts?
I just wonder if Schultzy's got like a burner account. Yeah. He's like, this Buck guy's terrible.
I'm going to check that.
Gee, get a good idea. Get him out of here. Turns out it's been Schultzy dragging Buck for like every time he's gone. Just trying to weasel into his job.
Got to do what I can. Do other hosts text our show and tell us we're terrible?
I've seen an occasional text or two, but not.
You have?
Not necessarily during this show, but I've seen Sprague kind of check in during some of the shows I've been working on.
And you recognize the number?
But he says it's Sprague. He doesn't try to disguise it.
No. Yeah, he says P1 Brandon Sprague, or he jokes and says it's P1 Brandon, and I do recognize the numbers. So.
That's different. It's one thing if you know.
But you're talking like spoofing the number.
Yeah, when you text in, we can see your number, but who the hell recognizes numbers? Rob could be texting in, Sook's the biggest jackass of all time. He could do that for 10 straight years. I would never know Rob's number.
Maybe I'm going to start doing that.
I had no idea.
What a jackass this guy is.
It's like when
I
called into the baseball show and Swag tried to call screen me, and I said, Jason from Vancouver. Hide in plain sight. It works.
I can confirm that man's number is not anyone associated, at least with anyone in my phone.
Okay, that's good.
And Schultzy is in my phone. The only guy I don't have in my phone that works here is Danny. So it could be Danny.
It's possible.
It's probably Danny.
This guy says he sees homeless people wearing Seahawks gear all the time. So,
apparently. See, that's different. I mean, we're talking about school shooter. Like, it's very serious and bad.
Or anytime there's any sort of serious crime. I don't think it's a good, it's not good. It's just not good. It's the same thing if he was an alumni of your school. You don't want that.
Well, you can't help that.
No, but you still don't want, you can't help him wearing a Georgia shirt either. Look, it's all bad. Can we just say that? Being affiliated with that, all bad. Nothing good.
Well, he was wearing a Georgia shirt, so.
He was.
Just saying. Well,
how many people in Georgia, percentage of the population?
100.
That has a Georgia shirt?
100.
There's got to be some tech fans out there, right?
No.
No. All.
Have you been to Georgia?
Not much. I was in Atlanta for a little bit, but that was, 30 years ago.
You may see some tech gear, but that will be in Atlanta around Georgia Tech. That is it.
It's like when you move to Georgia as part of the closing package on your house, they just give you some Georgia gear?
It's a thing. It's a culture. It's a big deal.
Here's your Bulldog fan package. Game one tickets are coming in the mail.
That's right.
Boy, it would be... I don't know. I mean, look, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I would be uncomfortable, I think, living in a place where there was groupthink like that. It would weird me out. It would absolutely weird me out to have the entire community be around something as just trivial as college football.
Speak for yourself. Trivial? Trivial?
Well, imagine...
Trivial?
Imagine moving to one of those places like Steubenville, Ohio. Like, you get transferred for your job, right? Whatever it is you do. And you're like, all right, well, I got to go live in a suburb of Columbus. And you're like, all right, we're going to go live in Steubenville. And you move in there, and then you find out that the entire town, the only thing anyone cares about is high school football. Ugh. The only thing. They're covering up crimes, like serious sexual crimes, to protect the high school football program.
I'd have to blow the lid.
I'd
blow the lid.
Yeah. Until someone blows up your house.
Well, I'd have to move, but I'd blow the lid.
Yeah. I mean, that just would be so weird. You just move in and you have no idea. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? You're talking about high school football? And then you kind of make fun of it. And everyone just gets real quiet and looks at you. And you're like, oh boy. Like, someone found a chili pepper in the candy dish. It's not going well.
All right. I got big news. Are you ready for this? Coming up next?
Not really, but let's do it.
I don't think you are ready for this.
Probably not.
As a matter of fact, if you still had water in your mouth, you might spit it all over your microphone.
Uh-oh.
Tim Tebow is coming to Portland.
Oh, my gosh. Is he bringing Rudy with him?
He might.
Oh.
Actually, he's bringing a whole slew of people.
Oh, no.
Buckle up.
You're right. I'm not ready.
You're not ready.
I'm not.
But you're about to be inundated with Tim Tebow news.
Am I about to be motivated?
It's possible. That is next, but first, Schultzy with SportsCenter. All right, well, you know the routine. On Fridays, Hot 5 at 5, Joey Harrington, Club 1080, and we out. We'll see if Joey Harrington has any hot thoughts about that Idaho game.
Well, I would think if anyone wants to freak out, it'd be Joey Harrington.
But he's pissed.
So reactionary.
So that'll be later. Right now, though, it is September 6, 2024. It's time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Today is Bring Your Manners to Work Day. Did you bring your manners to work today?
I'd like to think I always bring my manners.
I mean,
silence speaking volumes there. That's funny.
Look who's being rude now, you ass.
Well, I never bring my manners, but at least I say that.
I was very pleasant to people today.
It is also
please and thank yous.
It is also Wear Teal Day. The color. Like, hell yes. Isn't this teal? Oh, wait, you're wearing... Yeah.
I am.
Oh, my God.
That's like literally every day for me.
Look at you.
Is there anyone besides some old lady in the Southwest who likes a lot of Navajo themes in her clothing? Is there anyone that owns and wears more teal than Jordan Schultz?
Well, probably not. Teal is popular, though.
Your brother. He wears Mariner stuff.
I don't think he wears that kind of teal.
I would check, just kind of, Sue, start to, like, if you see, like, the walls in a TV show of, like, a room that you're watching in a scene, or, like, just, you'll start to notice, like, teal is kind of making its way into everything, into logos. It's not just me. It's a popular color.
It's a lot of you, buddy.
All right. Jerk.
In the news brought to you by, see, he brought his manners, though.
I'm not the one insulting people.
In the news brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys. At advocateslaw.com. Okay, I told you.
We're only rude to insurance companies, not wonderful radio hosts.
Tim Tebow is coming to town.
Oh, my God.
That's right.
Why?
I'll tell you why.
Some sort of godly football camp where I learn about throwing a ball and Jesus?
Now, listen, I don't want to make too much fun of this.
Really?
Well, you know how I feel about organized religion. Well,
you're a big fan, right?
I'm not.
Oh,
I think it's stupid.
Tell us how you really feel.
And absurd. That said, to each their own.
Yeah.
If you want more information on this, you can go to lifesurge.com.
Life Surge?
It's an event.
Oh, God.
It's going to be at the...
There it is.
It's going to be down in Salem at the State Fair and Expo Center.
Oh, boy.
Tim Tebow...
I just pulled it up.
Tim Tebow is the headliner. And it is...
I am ready to be surged right now.
It is called Life Surge Portland. It is a one-day, life-changing event where thousands of local Christians gather to learn why and how to create and multiply financial resources for kingdom impact.
Okay. Question.
That word scares me.
Over here.
The word kingdom.
Yeah, I'm going to need a greater... Can you give me a greater...
Okay, here's what it is.
Yeah.
And by the way, tickets are not that expensive.
Fair, they better not be.
That's fair. The four W's of kingdom impact are worship, the heart of God, wisdom, the mind of God, work, the actions of God, and wealth, the resources of God.
Wait, I thought God said that you shouldn't be rich. He said it was harder It was harder for a man to get into heaven than a camel to fit through the needle or the eye of a needle.
Yep.
So
it says, we inspire, transform, and equip believers to surge their life God's way. What you will learn is we believe that God's people are often over-inspired and under-equipped. Mm-hmm. And I
would like to say that I often am over-inspired, so, you know.
You're definitely under-equipped.
Yes.
I've talked to the BTJ.
Yeah, it's out there. It's the rumor on the street.
And that true transformation requires the equipping of his people. As an inspirational and educational company, we are passionate about helping you achieve the mission God has placed on your heart and offer additional products and services to assist you on your journey.
Ah, products and services. Does anyone kind of feel like this smells like Cutco or like Amway or something?
Yeah, it does a little, doesn't it?
I feel like I'm about to buy a package that comes with some liquid silver that I can ward off COVID with as well.
So they're going to inspire you.
Yeah.
And then they transform you because then you go to an educational seminar and then they equip you, which is probably where you have to buy into the Amway or whatever.
Hey, I just want you to realize that Annie Beeler is going to be there.
Yeah.
Founder of Auntie Anne's Pretzels.
Yep.
Anyone?
Yeah. Except Natalie Grant will be performing. She's a Christian musical artist.
Would you please get it correct? Christian music icon.
Yeah.
And then Natalie Grant.
The guy from Shark Tank, Robert Hirschbeck.
Oh, Robert Hirschbeck is a faith guy.
He'll be there, yeah.
I'm a former Annie Ann's employee.
Are you really?
Yeah, I worked there senior year of high school down at the Salem Center Mall.
Allow me to state this then for you and old Annie there. Wetzel's Pretzels for life, bitch.
You know what? I'm good with it. They paid
in
me
your face.
They paid me $7.25 to flip pretzels. So
Wetzel's
pretzels,
great pretzels. Wetzel's pretzels. Dun, dun, dun. But more importantly,
is the best pretzel the pizza pretzel? Because it always was for me.
Really, the pizza pretzel.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge pretzel guy, but if I ever was in a mall and walking by, and I would be like, oh, I should get a little. I would get the pizza one.
Nah, you just got to get the standard pretzel, but you got to get the hot cheese dipping sauce. And if they won't heat it up for you, then you just walk away. It's a deal breaker.
No, that's you got to go with just the standard pretzel or the pretzel dog and cheese sauce. That was always my go-to.
Also in attendance will be the world's number one motivational speaker, Nick Vujicic.
Yeah.
We also have star of CNBC's The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis, and others.
The Benham Brothers, and my favorite is their acclaimed kingdom entrepreneur.
Oh, God.
Boy, using the word kingdom really scares me.
Yeah,
a little.
Yeah.
Like, what are we building here?
Well, I think what we're building here is a cult and a pyramid scheme. But, hey, if it makes you feel better and you're going to, like, find Jesus and make a bunch of money... And by the way, the ultimate package, it's sold out, and that was the low price of $497.
$497. Now, you can get in for as low as $27.
But that's the executive.
Correct.
That's not getting you, that's only getting you like the wisdom of God. That's not getting you the other three aspects of God.
It gets you lunch.
Well, but it's not going to get you the worship, the work, or the wealth. But it gets you like a free pretzel and bag of Funyuns?
You get to hear half of Tim Tebow's speech, and then they shuffle that crowd out that only paid $27.
So you can get executive at $27, premier at $47, and VIP at $87. And the only thing that says here that VIP gets you is a Life Surge Tour lanyard and a Life Surge keepsake wristband. Anyway, if you want more information on this, it is lifesurge.com. Tim Tebow will be there. It is Saturday, October 12th.
Yes.
All day.
I'm going.
Down it.
I'm going.
No, you're not.
I'm in.
I guarantee you're not.
I'm in.
In Salem.
Oh, man. If it was going to be in Portland, then, you know, I'd show up.
At the fairgrounds. That is the weirdest freaking place.
It's an odd combo there. But
I think the rodeo show would be there.
Will I be able to purchase a timeshare when I'm there? Because
I guarantee you they'll have things you can purchase.
I've been looking for a religious property for a while to squat on, so.
All right, coming up next, the search continues, and Portland Weird Fest is this weekend.
Isn't that the same thing? Didn't we just talk about that?
This is In the News on The Fan. Is Isaac and Zook. And we'll have the Hot 5 at 5 in about 10 minutes. 10 minutes or so. Somebody pointing out that Tim Tebow event, it's the same day as Oregon State... Ohio State, Oregon, October 12th.
It's going to be a bummer that I missed that game. I mean,
yes, it is.
That game's not giving me the four.
Yeah, but you'll get
pillars
more,
of God.
You'll get more in Salem than you could ever get in Eugene.
That's true.
Or maybe you could do both. Stop down on your way.
Yeah, kind of duo.
Yeah.
Is that an all day thing?
Well, it is an all day thing. I don't know what time the game. Yeah, obviously we don't know what time the.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe catch, you know, a little bit in, before, and then go down to the game, and then catch the. As long as I get to see Tim Tebow's Blue Goals turn on for me.
All right, this is In the News, September 6, 2024. We've got police are calling it a highly unusual case. It is out in Beaverton, where there is a 32-year-old missing nurse from St. Vincent's. Her name is Melissa Jubain. Mm-hmm. She is an RN at Providence St. V's. She did not show up to her shift.
That's not good.
Wednesday, and her coworkers got in contact with law enforcement, and... they are now searching for her.
Yeah, that's...
it's not good. It's never... These are never good.
Look, again, no one ever goes missing and no one can find them. And then like a day later, they just pop up and are like, hey, sorry, everybody. Just, you know, was hanging out like in the basement.
Doing the public search party. Like everybody gather at Fred Meyer's and we'll all go... that means they have info that's not good.
No. Just if there's ever a public search for you, first off, that public search never finds you, and it's not good, and that sucks. That she looks so young, and ugh.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they find her.
And they're saying, by the way, no tip too small. So, looking for any photo, video evidence. Last person to see her. Ugh.
Well, it's I've watched enough Dateline to know that there's always some. Weirdo boyfriend involved or something.
She's not coming bounding out of the woods anytime soon. Just like, hey, everybody. It's usually not the way this works.
Well, maybe she is.
I hope so.
Give people hope, Jason. Hope.
Maybe
if you went to LifeSurge, you would...
That's true.
They would teach that to you.
Well, like, I'm always conflicted in that because, like with the Kyron Horman thing, right? Even that dad every so often comes on and is like, we still believe and...
Still looking.
God, I have no idea what that must be like, but, you know.
I think for some people.
Is that just what keeps you going?
Yeah, exactly. Until you know. And then for other people, it may not work that way.
Yeah.
It's just everybody's different. Yeah. But this is a sad story. So we'll hopefully.
That Elizabeth Smart, right? She was gone for like what?
Yeah.
She was gone for years, wasn't she?
That's right. And she's back.
She's back, yeah.
The inaugural Portland Weird Fest.
AKA Life Surge.
Is tomorrow at Oaks Park.
Different event. At least with Oaks Park, I get to ride a roller coaster or something, right?
Yeah, until you get stuck upside down.
Yeah, maybe I can check out like some roller derby or something. I don't know if it comes with a pretzel like the other one, but you know, hey, Weird Fest.
So, like I said, first ever, it's a new festival celebrating Portland's spirit of eccentricity. It'll be from noon to 5 tomorrow at Oaks Park. Features vendors, live music, performance art, a beer garden, a costume contest, and activities for your little wiener kids.
Cool. Can I say something about the weird, the weird unusual out there? Hey, man, whatever blows your hair back, I'm all for it. Whatever you need, whether you need to wear, like, fishnets or a bunch of piercings or wear a lot of teal, like Schulte. Is it me or does being weird seem like it takes a lot of effort? Like, you see the person on the, like, on the street that's, like the Portland, like, it's a lot of effort that goes into that. They just, like, the fashion, the
clothing.
Well,
probably not for them.
Oh, yeah. Dude, there's a lot of jewelry to be picked out. There's multiple layers. It's a whole thing. You got to do, like, your makeup a certain way. I just feel like you spend a lot of time, money, and energy to look like you don't care. But in reality, you care an awful lot. Like, you wake up in the morning and, you know, you throw on some slacks and a shirt and out you go. But when you're like unique Portland, dude, that's a whole thing. Like it is an effort to be like that.
Yeah, that's their expression.
Yeah. This seems like it takes a lot of time.
Portland Weird Fest is the latest project of Weird Portland United, which is a nonprofit founded by local celebrity Brian the Unipiper Kid.
Damn, that Unipiper, he's everywhere. He's so hot right now.
He is trying to support local artists, and he's trying to keep Portland weird.
Yeah, well, keep piping,
he says,
buddy.
Our mission. Wait, actually, this isn't him. This is Christine Lassiter, who is the president of Weird Portland United. Our mission statement is to celebrate, amplify, and incubate all things weird. And now we're able to do so in one place. People are going to get a great appreciation for all things weird at one of Portland's most iconic weird places, Oaks Park.
But also, can I say that if you all get together and there's like 1,000 of you and you're all the same, then isn't that not weird? You're just...
Yeah, what if I show up in my sports jersey and my football?
Yeah, wouldn't you be the
weird... I'm the weird
one. You would be the weird one. It kind of...
Or would they say, you're weird, get out of here.
Oh, it just seems weird to be having a group of people get together and be like, oh, we're all weird. But if you're all weird, then aren't none of you
weird? Wait, but if it seems weird to have the weird people get together, isn't that what they want?
That's a good point.
I mean, you just said it yourself without even knowing it.
I know.
That's what they're doing.
Hmm.
I just very Portland.
I just find the weird to be very try-hardy.
And finally, Jace.
Yeah.
Where did Jelly Roll just play? Did you see this?
Dude, Jelly Roll is everywhere. Dude, that dude is red hot right now.
Yeah, wasn't he just in Portland?
He was. Yeah. And he actually went down and performed at the Oregon State Prison.
In the joint. Well, he was a prison guy. He did time in the Hooscout.
Really? So, the tattoos on his face did not tell me that.
Yeah.
Grammy-nominated country star Jelly Roll stopped by the Oregon State Pen on Tuesday alongside Oregon's very own Jackie Roar for a heartwarming performance at the prison yard.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's a, you know, he got a little Johnny Cash in his blood, you know? I mean, good for him. I mean, he was a prisoner at one point and, you know, he did hard times. So, you know, goes back and try to give something back to people trying to turn their lives around. I mean.
So he went to the IG, the Instagram, the Insta.
Yeah, well, you got to go to the gram then.
And he said that the reason behind his surprise performance, he stated his brother, Oregon author, and famous bow hunter, Cameron Haynes, told him about his powerful trip to the prison a few months back.
Wait, there's a famous bow hunter?
And after further conversation, Haynes urged him to perform live music at the prison yard. Months later, the Save Me singer did just that. And he said that that is the first time they have allowed that there. In 20 years.
Oh, all right.
But they let him roll in.
Okay. And, I see what you did there.
And Jelly.
I can't say I'm the biggest Jelly Roll guy in the world, but he's hot right now. People love him. He's on Eminem's new... That dude's like on everyone's album. He was on Post Malone's album. He's on Eminem's album.
He said he wrote his first song in prison.
Yeah. I think he was doing... I heard an interview with him. I think he was selling drugs.
Yeah, he was a juvie.
Yeah, I think he got popped for that.
But he said he wrote his first song behind the walls, and it... feels better to come back and play it behind the wall.
And he did like weird rap for a while, and now he's like actually like he's singing
weird. Maybe he should show up to Portland Weird Fest.
Well, he's a weird fat guy with a bunch of face tattoos.
He's weird. He's perfect.
He's got a great
voice.
Everything's weird. Yeah.
Well, I think he's wonderful.
By all accounts, he's actually a really great guy. I listened to the interview I listened to with him. It was like long form. He's on there for like 2 hours. I came away liking him.
That's in the news, September 6, 2024, guys. We've got the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next. We have a little college football tonight. Are the Mariners keeping Jerry DePoto? And we'll update you on the U.S. Open. We'll be right back on The Fan.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.